أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the Day of Judgment. In a few days, the pilgrims will be there. We extend our congratulations to them for fulfilling that essential pillar of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed upon Muslims but timed it upon the convenience when you can afford it physically and financially. Hajj was decreed on the 6th Hijri year. The Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam performed his Hajj on the 10th Hijri year. And so, with the grace of Allah, you are given a leeway to choose. But I would advise those who haven't done yet to do it as soon as it is convenient, as soon as you can afford it physically and financially, simply because you cannot guarantee the future. You don't know how much of life you still have ahead of you. And therefore I hope that you get the niyyah of performing Hajj at the earliest possible occasion. The ritual of Hajj is simple. The actual steps, just go and do what the others do. But in general, Hajj is taking back the creed to where and when it was the pure Tawheed creed of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. As you know, after Ibrahim, prophethood continued for a long time in the progeny of his son Ishaq, Isaac. And this extended through many prophets to Judaism and Christianity. But alas, because that branch came to a closed end as they corrupted the religion. Almost from day one, the Jews were rebellious against their prophet Moses and against God himself. just after we were delivered from Egypt, they fell into idolatry by worshipping the golden calf. Always they were resenting the instructions of God. They even so neglected and altered and corrupted the Torah and focused not on the divine book, but on the Talmud that was the product of their rabbis and wise teachers. And then they killed their prophets in abundance. And then they focused on the letter and the frame of the religion, ignoring the spirit of the religion. And then they opposed Isa ibn Maryam when he came to correct. But the followers of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, also took the message and corrupted it. They soon made Isa God, or the Son of God. And what a blasphemy. Therefore, in order to move back to the origin, prophethood had to move from the branch of Isaac to the branch of Ismail. And this was the fulfillment of the prayer of Ismail and his father Ibrahim when they built the Kaaba, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make out of them a nation of mu'mins and to send to them from amongst them a Rasul, a messenger, to teach them his signs and teach them the book and wisdom. And that was Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This transfer from Isaac's progeny to Ismail's progeny, back to Ibrahim's purity of Tawheed, was manifested first by ordering the Muslims to make their prayer Qibla, the Kaaba, and not share with the others the direction to Al-Quds, Jerusalem. And second, by making Ibrahim and his legend and his history one of the pillars of Islam, an integral part of Islam. And as a matter of fact, the Hajj is nothing more than commemoration of that man Ibrahim, who found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking into his creation and concluding that beyond the creation there must be the Creator. And Allah contacted him. And Ibrahim in his time was put to many tests. And this probably opens the door to us to try and reminisce and ponder on some of the lessons of Hajj. Ibrahim had to face his people who worshipped idols, and he even crushed their idols. They arrested him and convicted him to death by burning in fire. But he was Muslim. He left it to Allah. And when they were about to throw him into the fire, Jibril would come to him and say, "Anything I can do for you? Do you have any need to tell me?" And the believing Ibrahim tells him, "Not from you. From you I need nothing." And then Jibril tells him, "Then ask Allah to save you." And he says, "He sees me already, and this is enough for me." And then Allah ordered the fire to be peace and coolness on Ibrahim. And Ibrahim faced his own father, who worshipped the idols. At a time when it was difficult to face one's father except with complete surrender and obedience. And Ibrahim faced the king by telling him that God is the one who gives life and death. And when the king brought two prisoners and killed one of them and said, "I give life and death," Ibrahim answered him, "Allah is the one who brings the sun from the east. Can you bring it from the west?" But a difficult test for Ibrahim occurred to him in his own house when Sarah found that out of Hagar, her maid, Ibrahim had a son while Sarah was barren. And she insisted that Ibrahim takes Hagar and her son and banish them away. And so he takes them to that place, which later on, much later on, became the city of Mecca, and left them there. And then an integral part of the ritual of pilgrimage was to remember and salute the noble role of motherhood as the mother ran to and fro between the two hills there in search of water for her son when their munitions were consumed. And that part is called the Sa'i, between the two little hills of Safa and Marwa. And all pilgrims go and walk that path for 7 times, remembering and acknowledging Hagar in her agony for the son. And Ibrahim kept visiting them every now and then until he was ordered to build the first mosque ever, the Kaaba, with the assistance of his son Ismail. And they built the Kaaba, and Allah ordered him to dedicate it for the worship of the one true God, and ordered a pilgrimage season where Ibrahim would spread the call to people to come to worship. And Ibrahim said, "If I call, how far my voice would go?" And Allah says, "You raise the call and I propagate the message." And now, alhamdulillah, people from all corners of the earth go and do the pilgrimage every year. The pilgrimage did not start with the ministry of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It started with Ibrahim and continued since then. But unfortunately, after Ibrahim, the Arabs corrupted the Hajj and they fell into idolatry. And they brought statues to worship them in and around the Kaaba. And they turned the worship season into a season of festivities and merriment, where they would drink and go around the Kaaba naked and do grave sins. And this was the corruption. And the message of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was to restore the connection again to the beginning. After the Christians and the Jews on the one side and the Arabs on the other side corrupted the religion. And so Hajj was to restore the creed to where it started with Ibrahim, purity of Tawheed, no race to say we are the children and the beloved of God, no one to say that a human being is God or the Son of God. And so the ritual started again. But perhaps the most testing test Ibrahim was exposed to was when he saw in his dream that he should give his son, his only son, Ismail, as a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim was mu'min and a Muslim. He was the one who called us Muslim before we came. So was Ismail. And out of Islam, Islam means surrender, submission. Out of Islam, he becomes willing to slaughter his own son. And asking Ismail, my son, I see in my dream that I slaughter you. And Ismail said, my dear father, do as you are told. You will find me patient. And this is the willing to sacrifice for Allah even your own son. And this is a lesson that is very valid and very relevant to the Islamic Ummah today. Because you know the challenges that are facing us. You know the attacks upon us. You know the plots against us. You know the oppression that falls on us. And the key to all this, are we willing to pay a price or not? Everyone has Ismail in this world. My Ismail might be my son. It might be your money, your wealth. It might be yourself. It might be your position. It might be your reputation. Are you willing to sacrifice your Ismail for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And the key to face the animosity and the hatred is to be willing to sacrifice. For a long time, the Islamic Ummah was not willing to sacrifice. And they manifested the forecast of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said that nations will fall upon you like hungry eaters upon a bowl of food. And they asked him, is that because we will be so few? And he said, you will be so many. But Allah will throw feebleness in your heart. And they asked him, what feebleness? And he said, you love this world and you hate death. You are not willing to sacrifice. Our solution to our problems is not extrinsic. It will not come from America. It will not come from Russia. It will not come from the United Nations. It will come from us if we are willing to sacrifice. And alhamdulillah, modern times are showing the beginnings of the willingness of the Islamic Ummah to sacrifice. Of course, when we mention the pilgrimage and visiting the mosque of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in Medina, which is not part of the pilgrimage, but it is commanded by the Prophet, who recommended that the three most worthy mosques of being visited are the Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the Prophet's Masjid in Al-Madinah, and the third is the Aqsa Mosque in Palestine. And we remember that the third of the three holy mosques is the Aqsa Mosque in Palestine. And regrettably, it was taken from our hands, probably through our neglect and ignorance. It has to be regained again by our hands as we wake up and are willing to sacrifice. And I don't want you to think that what we mean by the Aqsa Mosque is only that building you see in the pictures with the golden dome. No. When the term Aqsa Mosque came in the Quran, this building was not there. It was built later on, after Islam came during the time of the Umayyads. All that was there was the rock, which was the launching pad of Prophet Muhammad on his journey to ascent. But the Aqsa Mosque, mentioned in the Quran, is the whole area around that rock. The whole of Jerusalem, the whole of Palestine. And this should be in Muslim hands. And it is just to put it in Muslim hands again. The three religions have interests there. And it is fair to give the key to the hand that recognizes the other two. And therefore, they will be allowed to fulfill their worship there. But right now it is under the Jews, who do not recognize Christianity as a divine religion, and who do not recognize Islam as a divine religion. And therefore, injustice will occur. It has already occurred. Even the Christian community in Palestine was decimated under the Jewish rule. And this is our task. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm quite sure that the Muslim Ummah will be invited to give sacrifices in order to restore justice and restore truth. And the biggest lesson in sacrifice is to look at Ibrahim and remember him, a man who was willing to slaughter his own son when he believed that this was in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you go to pilgrimage and come back, or if you think of Ibrahim and do not acquire this spirit of sacrifice, then unfortunately you are not the sensitive Muslim whose heart is really open to Islam. And you go to pilgrimage and you find something. For the first time you see the Muslim Ummah. Different colors, different races, different languages. And you will see that in spite of their poverty sometime, of their ignorance sometime, they are a good people. They believe in decency. They are honorable people. What does the word honor mean in the West now, in the Western civilization? It means nothing. Truth, to speak the truth, amana, mutual love, all this you see in the pilgrimage. And come back knowing that this is the Ummah you belong to, and you don't shirk your responsibilities towards it. The authorities in Saudi Arabia are doing their best to make the pilgrimage easy. But I do hope someday the pilgrimage season would be a large Islamic conference where the Ummah would meet to discuss their affairs, to be educated, to imbibe the lesson of sacrifice, and know that they are a brotherhood and sisterhood all over the world. And in this way, hopefully things will change. They will change. Because the West, especially when globalization comes, it cannot go on like that. And things have to be corrected, and we Muslims are the only ones who can correct them. We have the medicine in the Quran. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبح ربكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه. My dear fellow Muslims, a nation we should be because a nation Allah made us and told us in the Quran, this is your nation, one nation, and I am your Lord, so worship me. And the more mutual fraternity and love are established between the Muslims, the more solidarity and the more resistance we can offer to the trauma and the insults falling upon us from everywhere. And at this time, when civilization boasts the last cry